Praise the Lord. You're here today in the name of the Lord, here to glorify Him, not me, not you, but Jesus Christ. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward. And so we can go ahead and get ready to get into our Word. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over to Romans chapter 14. This book of Romans has covered a lot of ground. Started out talking about sin and about those that fool themselves and they would take the glory of God and change it into images of beasts and four-footed creatures and different things like that. God said, I'll give them over to their own mind, to a reprobate mind. I don't ever want him to say that about me. I want to walk in obedience to him. But there is a point where God gives folks over to a reprobate mind. Sounds like a point of no return to me. I think there's a point where God says, you got it, you have it. Jesus always said, not my will, but thine be done. But some say, not thy will, but mine be done. And after a while, he says, yeah, your will be done. That's what you want. It's yours. Talk to us about how we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin, you know. If you know Christ, you're dead to sin. Sin, the Bible says, has no more dominion over you. What that means is, you don't have to sin anymore. But you say, well, I didn't have to sin before I got saved. Yes, you did, too. You were under a different master. And the servant does what his master tells him to do. So you can stick your chest out, and these folks out here can, that don't know Christ can stick their chest out and say, I don't have a problem with sin. Save from what? I'm the captain of my own ship. Okay. Keep on thinking like that. But if, you know, you're going to do what your master tells you to do. And my brother-in-law, my sister got saved, and I kept telling him, I said, you need to get saved, man. Oh, no, Lord, God won't save me. I've done too much wrong. I said, if you don't consider the Lord, you're going to fight against your wife. I'll never do that, Roy. I'll never do it. I said, yes, you will. Never. He fought against her. Even though he said he wouldn't or didn't want to. You do what your master tells you to do. I'm glad we don't have that issue here today. But these are some of the things that Romans 7, Paul talked about. It sounded like he was confused. He's like, the things I would do, I do not. The things that I don't want to do, that I do. If I do the things that I would not, I consent to the law that it's good. It is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me, he said. I find in the law, in my members, that when I would do good, that evil is present with me. Did y'all hear that? So when you go about to do good, don't be surprised if something rises up to stop you. Don't be surprised if something comes up to resist you. When I would do good, evil is present with me. You know why? Because good and evil comes out of the same root. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Root from the same root. And that's why I say we got to have something a little better than good. We need righteousness. Say, well, I'm not righteous. No, you're not. Neither am I. But he is. And we're righteous in him. It's not even a works thing. We're righteous in Christ. Christ is righteous. If he's in us, then we're righteous in him. I mean, you can't be prideful about this thing. You can't keep going back saying, well, I'm doing the best I can to be righteous. It don't matter. God said, all of man's righteousness is filthy rags in my eyes. So no matter how good you get, no matter how moral you are, God is not impressed with that. There are a lot of moral people still facing the fires of hell today because they think that they're good enough to get in. Only Jesus is good enough. And in Romans 8 tells us after all of that, that there is no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. I mean, we're not under any kind of judgment as before. There's no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, with the caveat, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free. He said, has made me free from the law of sin and death. You're free from the law of sin. You're free from the control of it anymore. Before, you did it because you had to. You might have enjoyed it, but you had to sin. But now, if you sin now, you know why you do it? Because you want to. Because you want to. Now, we make little errors and we make little stumbles and things like that. It's like, oops, Lord, messed that up. Forgive me, please. I confess it to you. And get up and get on with your Christian life. But when you get up and you're thinking, like, okay, I'm going to go on and get this out of the way. But it's like you can't outsend God's grace, so I'm going to hurry up and get mine out of the way. First part of the day. Yeah. No, you can't do that. And you can't say, oh, I couldn't help myself. If you're in Christ, you can. He can help you. Well, amen. Tells us in Romans 9 about Israel. As much of a chosen people as Israel was, God pushed them back in the shadows and opened up the way for us. Israel took a hit so the Gentiles could come in. Amen. Israel was his chosen people. Israel was God's baby, if you will. His wife. But listen, God is no respecter of persons. If he'll do Israel like that, what will he do to my mama? Hey, listen now. I mean, I'm saving everything and I thank God for it, but he's not going to, you know, keep my mom out if she doesn't come the same direction because she's my mama. Got to get your minds right about this thing. You know, you think, well, I just can't think about my grandmama going to hell. Your grandmama better get saved. I mean, you know, it's a hard saying, but it really needs to be said, and we really need to start thinking this way, that, you know, my family members are just as, that don't know Christ is just as big of sinners and rascals as the people that I'm not related to. And your family members are too. Just because they're your family doesn't make them exceptional above all of the rest that's in that same boat. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I want my family members to come to know Christ. I want all of that. But in the meanwhile, they're still out there in that mess. But you thank God that you're not. And of course, 10 gives us the plan of salvation and tells us how we're saved and what the condition is to expect from salvation. And it's the strange thing about this salvation and this Christ. I heard a preacher say that the sovereignty of God and the will of man runs parallel, and they will never intersect. In other words, God sovereignly saves who he wills. But then there's a will of man that runs parallel with it. That makes you responsible for something. I still ain't figured all that out. But we play a role in this salvation thing, even though he's foreordained us to be in. That's the way out there for me. But you can't make them intersect. You can try, but you can't. Then Romans 12 tells us about the Christian life. Living the Christian way, how we should treat one another. It's a very good chapter, and it's a challenging chapter. It challenged me the first time that I read it, and it challenged me the last time we spoke about it here. I said, oh, man, I found it. It ain't came out. Yeah, it ain't. He ain't took it out yet. So, hallelujah. And it talks about our civic duty. Responsibility, how we are to carry ourselves in the world, that we have a responsibility to be subject to every ordinance of man. In other words, you walk lawfully in this land. You walk according to the law. And then Romans 13. So It's been a great, powerful journey. And maybe you've heard me say this before, but we walk in the epistles. That's where we walk. Not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, though it's great, and we need those scriptures. But when it comes down to where you put souls to walking, it's in the epistles. Everything after Acts is teaching us about how we should walk and live as Christians. Acts through a revelation of Jude, or where it ends. You cannot find Christian doctrine in the book of Acts. There might be an allusion here or there with something that Paul might say or something that Peter might have said or some of the others. But the doctrine for us to walk in is in the epistles. That's where we should spend most of our time. Proverbs is beautiful. Psalms is beautiful. But the walking papers is in the epistles. And it's okay to go back and study those, but don't make that the only thing that you read. Proverbs, beautiful book. Psalms, great. But Romans, forward. It will challenge you right where you are. Y'all, we need to be challenged. We need to be stretched. If you're comfortable, then you need to be discomfortable with the Word of God in your life so that you can continually be stretched and grow in grace and become a perfect person in Christ. When you say perfect, people start getting uncomfortable about perfect. But then if you go back to the natural man and start thinking perfect, then you're right, you're not perfect. But in Christ, you are perfect. You know, you're perfect in Christ. That is, you are complete, you're full grown, you're mature in Him. That's what that means. It's a spiritual perfection that matters to your spirit man. We got to remember that we've got two natures. We have the nature of the old man and the nature of the new man in us. We got to remember that. When you're reading these scriptures and your spirit is being ministered to, it's ministering to your spiritual person. And if you take them and keep going back to the natural with them, then you're going to get tied up. You're not. We got to remember that it's a spiritual message to a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. That's what these scriptures are for. So now let's go on and look here in Romans chapter 14 and see what the Spirit of God has for us today. Father, thank you for this word today. I thank you in advance for what you're going to say to us, what you're going to teach us in this word. Help us, Lord, to not get in your way, but to move so that we won't see ourselves, see the speaker, but we'll see you. That we won't hear ourselves except that which you speak to our hearts or the speaker, but we will hear you. And we will give you the glory for it as you strengthen us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting verse 1, it says, Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So first of all, you need to take note that Romans 14 is about how to relate to weaker Christians in the faith. That's what this whole thing is about. Now, you know, folks get in here and they make all kinds of different little creations out of it. But it's about how a mature Christian deals with a less mature Christian. Amen? That's what this is about. So, and they're talking about some circumstances that are apparently existed there at the time. But you should receive this person, but not to doubtful disputations. That is, don't shut the immature or Christian down because they don't understand it, because they don't quite get it, or because you come across in a way where they don't hear you, they don't understand it, and they tell you, well, this is how I see it. No, that's wrong. You don't destroy them. In other words, receive them. Don't cause them to doubt. Don't cause them to stumble. That means if you're mature in Christ, then you should be able to tolerate the immaturity in immature Christians, or young Christians, if you will. That you should be old enough to be able to tolerate that and say, well, okay, well, all right, we're going to just pray about it, and don't destroy them. It says, for one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats herbs. You don't think. Some people eat everything. Some say I'm a vegan, what do you call it, a vegan. Vegetarian. Vegan. No, this is God's temple. I'm not going to defile God's temple with no meat, no pork, and no shellfish, and not I either. And there are some that are in the church that are like that. I don't see how y'all call yourself glorifying God eating all that junk. Well, some eat meat, and some eat herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. So, back off. That's what he's saying. Back off. If they don't want to eat the pork chop, you eat it. If it bothers you that much and you like it, you eat it. You grab the pork chop if it's okay, see, because it goes down later where it might even stop you from eating pork chops. Okay. It says, who are you? Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. That is, God is able to support him. God can still support even the young one that might not be where the older one is. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let every man be fully assured in his own mind. We still have Sabbatarians, folks that say you should worship on the Sabbath day. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And don't work on the Sabbath day. And a lot of folks got it mixed up. They said that Sunday is the Sabbath day. And if it's a Jewish Sabbath, it's on a Saturday. And so they get all folks, and some folks say, you shouldn't go doing stuff, anything, fishing or playing golf or anything on Sunday, because that's the Lord's Day. And you should give that. And others say, Sabbath, Lord's Day, every day. I believe every day is God's day. But if you want to put down one day, then the Bible says, don't bother him. Just leave them alone. Just pray for them and try to counsel if you can. And if not, then they're still okay. God still supports that person. But every day is the Lord's day. If you can imagine this, I come here today and I'm all booted up for the Lord and I'm all dressed up and looking good and acting right and acting holy and speaking the right things and saying the right things. And by tomorrow, I'm cussing like a sailor and cutting a fool and running women and drinking and carrying on because it's not the Sabbath day. I only owe him that day. Y'all will not respect me if you walk up to me and I'm out there in the street, can't hardly stand up, falling down drunk. I say, well, after all, Sunday, I wasn't drunk Sunday. So, you just don't worry about it. No, we're going to worry about it. In my estimation, every day is the Lord's day. And Jesus is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a person. That's what the law was talking about all the time. They were depicting it was a shadow of what was coming. The Sabbath day is a person. And his name is Jesus. But some folks are still in that. So the Bible says, just don't, Let the fruit of the Spirit work in you in these situations. In other words, he says, God supports him. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. So, there it is. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eats to the Lord, and he gives God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself. No man dieth to himself. Whether we live, we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We're His. God shows great patience here. He Himself, He's talking about His own nature, how He sees us. And if you will, some of us have grown to great maturity in the faith through the years that we've been in. Guess what? You could be considered immature to some older Christians. You see? And so we have to be careful. You find yourself standing next to somebody that's way past doing this. Deal with that. For to this end, the Bible says Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved. Only saved people will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, I got to stand there for me, and you got to stand there for you. And I wish you all the best. I hope it goes well for you. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Don't look back at me when you're standing there, because I can't help you. I can help you now, but I can't help you then. You say, we will receive reward or loss for what we've done in our lives and our bodies. Everybody's going to stand. And so the one that eats not, that everybody's coming down on, Christ might say, you know what? You did it better than most of the ones that was in your fellowship. And wait a minute, he didn't eat. He worshiped me in that. His worship was real to me in that. His worship was pure to me in that. I understand about the freedom that you have, but this one dedicated this to me is almost like a fast, if you will. So we have to be very careful and treat it in the manner that God tells us. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So God is taking all of the so-called inequities, and at that time, he's putting everybody on the same level. We might say, well, that one is, man, some of that stuff isn't believing in God. That's the blah, 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 blah. But on that day, he's going to say, every knee, every tongue, that's everybody. Yeah, that's him. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge or resolve this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Wow. I know some preachers that could just stop and preach on that forever. That's what it's saying. Don't be a stumbling block for someone else. Don't cause problems for others. If someone is struggling, don't. You know, it's like if they're in quicksand, you reach down and pat them on the head. Don't do that. You help them out. Don't do that. It's saying, don't put a stumbling block. Don't put an occasion to fall in your brother's way. It says, I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing, I say, nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, remember, he's talking about a brother that's weak in the faith. And remember also, we're going to get into what he's talking about when he says unclean, because folks will take that and say, well, that means I can go out here and live crazy and do anything I want, because it's not unclean. There's nothing unclean. See, folks will take that and they'll take it and they'll wrap it around and fix it up, and you say something to them or ask them about it, and they say, well, hey, let's go over Romans 14. It says right here that nothing is unclean of itself. It says, there we go. If your brother be grieved with your meat, you're walking uncharitably. You're not walking loving. Don't destroy him with your meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Now, the meat that they're talking about, and that's like at the time, and listen, the Christians were Jews and Gentiles. Jews were saved from the law. Gentiles were saved from their system. And a lot of it was a sacrificial system that they would sacrifice animals to their gods. Well, they would sacrifice the animals to their gods, and then they would bring them to the marketplace, and they would sell the meat cheaper. And so you get a chance to get some economy meat there in the marketplace, because you got to know it's been sacrificed to idols, because if it costs $5 and they're selling it for $1.50, and it's just as fresh as the other meat, Why the price break? Well, because it was sacrificed to idols. And so then you have some of the Christians that will go, let's say it was because, you know, the Jews, and they go, well, you know, we're going to fill up the, whatever they kept the meat, salted it or something like that. And they go and they'll buy two for $3. And they come in here eating and stuff. And the Christian that was in the sacrificial system said, man, that is unclean. It is not edible. You should not be eating that. That is no good. Did you know? I came from over there. They sacrificed it to devils. And you're eating it. Man, this offends me. I can't deal with this. You're supposed to be saved, and you're eating something that's sacrificed to devils. Well, he just said, now listen, I'm telling you now, there's nothing unclean. See how he did it? There's nothing unclean. It's fine. But it says, if it offends your brother, now you're not walking charitably. So don't destroy him. Don't devastate him with your meat for whom Christ died. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, because we're going to talk about you. Amen. Don't be defamed. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. That's holy obedience. And peace. That's spiritual tranquility. And joy, which is the fruit of the Spirit in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serve Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. That's great. If you serve God in righteousness and peace and in joy, you're acceptable to God and even approved of men. That's a double shot there. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify, build up the other. See, the scripture says, let all things be done unto edifying. Always do things that will build up a brother. Now, we had a little sporting banner going here earlier, and we understand each other. You know, you're not trying to tear me down or destroy me. We have those light moments, and that's fine. But, you know, some people can't take jokes. Some people don't have a sense of humor. You say something, they take it to heart. And a young Christian is very, very serious about their Christian walk. And if you remember, you were too when you first came in. Then you start learning freedom and learning to walk in different kinds of freedoms and seeing that some things weren't so bad. You kind of got a little looser there and a little freer there. So you got a young Christian coming in and they are straight up serious. And you go to telling jokes about this. Hey, where'd you get that soda from, man? I guess you must have went, ha, 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 ha. It ain't funny to him. It's not funny to her. We have got to be very careful how we carry ourselves. We should be edifying. We should edify one another anyway. If you say something to me, or I say something to you, and it looks like it hurts your feeling, I need to get with you quick and say, Bill, I hope we're all right. I didn't mean any harm. Didn't look like that went over well with you. And you know what Bill will say? Oh, it's no problem. We all say that. No problem. But Bill's face will tell you something else or someone else. And you'll see it come across their face. Everything's fine, and you do this, and their face drops. Something just happened now. Something just happened. And so, you're just an example. I'm just using you because you look at me. But we have to be sensitive. So, that if it tears down, we want to try to, if we can help it, don't let them leave in that condition. Just kind of make sure. At least say, well, let them know that you do love them. Let them know that you do love them. You know, maybe you spoke out of turn. Sometimes it's hard for folks to say, I'm sorry. Folks struggle with that. I apologize. I'm so sorry. They're like, I am sorry. People struggle with that. I apologize. Forgive me. I mean, have you ever apologized when you were not wrong? You didn't think you were wrong, but it was for the greater good. sometimes even bad. You don't have to always be right. But you can restore the breach, even though this person is dead wrong, and say, you know, I'm sorry. I had a situation where I did that. I'm talking about stuff that I've done, and the only reason I can talk about it is because I know you've been there too. You know, there's no bragging anything going here. But I had a situation with a brother. We did some work together, some music stuff together. And, we kind of collaborated, and he just swore up and down that I didn't have anything to do with it. I wrote the words and the melody. And I thought about it. I was a little upset about it. But I went to him eventually and said, brother, let me tell you something. I believe in you, and I know that you believe in your heart what you're saying about this. And so I'm fine with it. I will never say another word about it again. Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. About a week or two later, he said, you know what? I went back and I searched my records and I found you were right. So I'm changing all of the copyright records and I'm going to make sure your name is a part of it. So I wasn't necessarily, I had gotten past wanting it to be like that. I was like, forget it. I don't care. But I still, but between me and him, there was a thing there. There was a problem there. And I love this brother, you know. But I just went and said, look, this is the last time I'll never bring it up. If you don't say anything about it, I'll never, ever bring it up again. And I've sung that song here before. Anyway, that's the example. And these kinds of things. Sometimes you have to bite the bullet. Throw yourself under the bus. One way to get thrown is throw yourself under the bus. Not all the time, but if it's necessary. Hallelujah. It says, let us do all things here, and let us edify one another. For me, destroy not the work of God. What you eat will not destroy God's work. Jesus said, it's not what goes into the man that defiles him. It's what comes out. And I got to tell you that when the Lord called me into the ministry, I had just moved to join. Ain't no way he going to talk to me through this stuff. But, you know, he kicked that stuff out the way and spoke just as plain to me. And I started preaching the gospel not many days after that. I mean, I was tight in a chapel, so-called talking to him. That was my first thing there. And he came through, kicked through all of this stuff that thinks that, well, he can't do this, he can't. God do what he wants to do. How he wants to do, when he wants to do it, to whomever he wants to do it to. You don't think that you're going to get drunk enough that God is not going to deal with you. Or you're going to get high enough that God can't reach me now. I'm going to get angry enough or mean enough or nasty enough. I don't care what God says. You know what? He made you. And he knows all of the ins and outs of you. Well, he's going to have to knock me flat on my back to get my attention. All he's got to do is give you a quick vision, a dream, something. He's going to take all. You don't tell him what to do. He can just show you something, and it'll change your whole life if he wants to. Just to tell you, our little antics and shenanigans are not greater than him. And if he'll call a pothead into the ministry, what else would he do? And I fussed back and forth. I said, you can't mean that. Y'all should have seen me. I was crying. I was a mess. And I was talking back to him. I said, you can't mean that. You can't mean that. When nobody in there but me and him. If you walked in the door, you would have said, that man has lost his mind. He's been coming here for a while. He's gone. We might need to call Christ. But what they don't know is that I was talking to the Lord. I would shake my head and say, you can't meet. And I ran out of that chapel crying. I could barely see. The tears were so thick in my eyes. And I was trying to keep, I was a mess. And I was trying to get my key in the car door. I couldn't see the way to put the key in. It was so bad. And I was crying. So I finally got in and cried all the way back to work. And then he touched me that day. We talk about God touching you. When he touches you, he does. And I got to work, and I looked when I walked in, closed my eyes with bloodshot red, not from the herb, but from crying in the herb, I guess. And I ran in and closed my office door. And I sat there and tried to compose myself. It took me, I don't know how long. And I'm crying, I'm going, ah, and right back crying again. Man, this cut. This cut was so deep. If I had left church, I wasn't going to church anymore. I was mad at him in the church and all that. Some of y'all heard that testimony. I started going back to church. I said, y'all can call me a minister. And the next church experience, I was made the minister of music. I was over to Sunday school superintendent and all that, and I would minister and sing. Again, I began my teaching ministry at that church, 1985. And it has not been 1 month that I have not had a speaking responsibility somewhere. Even when I left the church again, there was still a goal with him, because his call is a real call. Amen. It's a real call. He'll open the doors for you. Yes, he will. All right. Meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. So that's a sacrifice you should make for your brother. To offend is to entice to sin. To offend is to entrap or to trip up. And so you don't want to trip. I mean, I've been working with this trying to get past it, so it means that I don't do it in front of him. But it says, you need to give it up if it offends you. Give it up. Don't do it. And it says this, you have faith. Have it to yourself. Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he does allow, in the thing which he does participate in. Happy is he that does that. Now, I don't drink or smoke or anything like that. I know some Christians that do. Okay. But I don't. And I'm not offended by others that do, you know, so, but I don't. But I used to. I drink and smoke, cuss, you know, the whole gamut. But as I move into this way, there's some things that a preacher, number one, shouldn't do. He shouldn't drink anyway. And then there's some things that a preacher won't do. He won't do because of integrity, because of reputation. And it's important that my words are heard or received. And if you reject my words, it won't be because you'll be looking at something that I'm doing. I haven't arrived completely, as none of us have, but I do the best that I can. And so, I mean, I'm just I'm confessing everything. So don't think that, you know, you're looking at an angel's life. By no stretch of the imagination are you looking at an angel's life. There's another man that has God's hand on his life. And y'all keep praying for me that he's not removed his hand. This is a serious request. Keep praying for me that God will not remove his hand from me. Help it. That he'll keep it. Man, right on. I can still feel the weight of his hand. Because I just don't need to lift it. Don't need it. Because if you let your flesh go, you will sin just as much as the person that don't know Christ. They will not see the difference in you and the next person. When they tell the police, they're going to tell on you too. You're doing the same thing. So have your faith to yourself and before God. Sometimes you got to do that. Just between you and him. And you're happy. Is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whosoever is not of faith, or whatsoever is not of faith, is sin. So in other words, your conscience is a very, very important part of you that's given to you by God. We get a great direction from the Word of God, but never, ever ignore the voice of your conscience. Because your conscience will also direct you in matters. And you'll know when your conscience speaks out. You've got the Holy Ghost in you, and you've got a holy conscience, and your conscience will speak to you, do not ignore the voice of your conscience. You say, well, I heard God speak to me. Okay. Well, he used you. He used your vessel to speak to you through. It's hard to describe it. But many times the voice of God appears around the same vicinity to me that my own thinking appears, my own mind appears. They're like real close. But when it's him, I go do things and great things happen. Really great things. Like, whoo, there was God. And when I go do it on my own, it's like, catastrophe! Look out. Lord's going to pick me up or help me or pray for me or something. I'm in a mess. So it's important to be led by him. And he uses your conscience. So remember that. Hear your conscience. And you don't want to live in doubt. In other words, because that's considered sin. And so let your conscience be your guide in a lot of these things. Amen? Well, Lord, thank you for this word today. And we're just so glad that you allowed this study in Romans. What a challenge this book is. My goodness. And may we be able and allowed to come back again next time and move on to Romans 15 to see what you have to teach us in that book. And just keep us, Lord, and bless all that are here, those that wanted to come that could not make it, be with them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.